This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is coming along to 6:37 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're now looking at the hashtag Masakita movement that has picked up traction on social media. And as you might recall, you might even have heard the clips. Yesterday's parliamentary sitting was somewhat chaotic. There was a lot of yelling, jeering, unpleasant exchanges between government and opposition MPs. And we're just going to look at a couple of moments that stood out. So firstly, MWA MP Syed Saddiq Syed Abdul Rahman was mocked by a few government MPs. He was taking the floor from Langkawi MP Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad when this happened.
Dan kalau Yang Berhormat Langkawi kepada kerajaan sepanjang masa
Langkawi,
saya dapati
MWA nak mencelah Langkawi. MWA nak Langkawi mencelah di belakang.
MWA pergi lompat pagar lah.
Cucu nak mencelah cucu.
Cucu nak cakap cucu.
Boleh mencelah.
Lagi cucu nak mencelah.
Yang Berhormat Langkawi tadi menekankan pentingnya untuk Yang Dipertua bertindak.
And it didn't really end there. So I think the biggest news really that came out yesterday, aside from what happened with the Speaker of the House, towards the end of the afternoon session, Batukawan MP Kasturi Pato became the victim of sexist and racist remarks.
Boleh Bapak Menteri jelaskan kenapa ke tak cukup wanita yang berkaliber setelah Perikatan Nasional ni?
Gelap, tak nampak. Saya minta Bapak baling, tarik balik kenyataan itu. Saya kata gelap, saya pun gelap. Pakailah bedak, selesai masalah.
Yang Berhormat Speaker, you cannot allow that.
So that you just heard there a little bit of Baling MP Abdul Aziz Abdul Rahim making offensive remarks towards Batukawan MP Kasturi Pato. And in light of all this, many young Malaysians took to social media to vent their frustrations. On Twitter, many commented with the hashtag Masakita, which is, of course, our time. And the Malay Mail published some of them. For instance, Amira Aisha tweeted about how she found yesterday's sitting painful to watch. And beyond expressing disappointment, the hashtag was a rallying call. Many Malaysians want to see younger MPs so that more constructive and civil debates can take place. And also, I think accompanying all this is a general fatigue with the heckling that's come to be associated with the Dewan Rakyat. For one, Norman Goh tweeted, "Look at how young Malaysians debate. They're much, much better at following decorum. Time to get young Malaysians to Parliament." And Challenger, one of the organisers of Parliament Digital, tweeted just a very simple thing: boomers out, let youth in. And I think we would not be making an original statement to say that it's interesting looking at the actual Parliament sitting in direct comparison to Parliament Digital, which happened just so very, you know, just very shortly ago, and to look at the difference in terms of how debates were conducted. And you could make all sorts of, you could debate as to why that is. But I think fundamentally, and this is something that we hear all the time as well, whenever we discuss Parliament, there is really this sense of, does it have to be like this? You know, I understand that we are on opposite sides of the divide. We have lots of heavy things to talk about. These are important issues. This is money. This is policy that we're discussing. And so understandably, it would get very heated. But there is this question of, just because something is heated, does it mean that it has to take the tone that it has, that we're now seeing? Because truly, I think listening, if you were just to sort of cherry pick moments from Parliament, just drop in on an hourly basis or every couple of hours, you never know what you're going to get. On the one hand, you might, you know, just be listening to somebody discuss something in a relatively calm fashion, but you might also drop in and just hear jeers, screams, you know, people just yelling at each other. You can't really make out any form of debate. And so there is, even moving beyond this idea of age, although youth representation, of course, is incredibly important, even moving beyond this idea of age, I think just having some civility and understanding decorum would go a long way, because everybody wants to know that what happens in Parliament means something, and also that constructive debate, actual conversations are able to happen. So that's what we're going to be focused on. If you would like to weigh in on your thoughts on Parliament and whether it is time for more young people to participate, to be present as MPs even, to kind of change the tone, or whether there just needs to be a change of tone in the House in general. You can let us know. That number to call is 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio, where we also have a poll running at the moment asking how you would rate the conduct of our MPs in Parliament. And so far, 66 votes, early days yet, but 86.4% are saying not good. So let us know if you agree or disagree. Again, those numbers to call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Amira Aisha, who is an activist with Challenger Malaysia. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It's 6:43. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're talking now about the Masa Kita movement, which again has been picking up traction on social media and is as a response to, I guess, the kinds of comments and the level of manners, politeness that we're seeing in Dewan Rakyat. If you would like to weigh in, you can call us at 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now on the line with us, we're crossing over to Amira Aisha, who is an activist with Challenger Malaysia. Amira, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, hi. Thank you, Lynn, for calling.
So how did you feel watching yesterday's parliamentary sitting, and for that matter, just today?
Yeah, I think I feel just as much as the same as any other Malaysian youth watching. I tweeted about it actually yesterday. It was really painful to watch. And I think the saddest part about it all is that it has been like that for many years. Like, our parliamentary sitting has been like that for ages. There was little to no finesse in the arguments made, and there were just a lot of shouting, immature, petty fights. There are a lot of arguments, like substantial, important arguments that should be mentioned, but they didn't, because, you know, they should have mentioned about, you know, the rate of unemployment that are, you know, rising up, 5% rising up in May, and then there are over 500 domestic violence cases opened up during MCO, you know, all those really important issues that should be brought up, but they didn't bring it up. Instead, they would put over, you know, petty fights, and that really frustrates me, and I think I speak for a lot of Malaysians out there.
Were there any, I guess, specific remarks and comments that stood out to you as inappropriate? We heard earlier a small sampling. Were there any for you?
Oh, I think there were a lot of, like, a lot of comments that I think were inappropriate. But I think the ones that really stood out was, you know, the sexist and racist remarks made by MP Baling about, you know, gelap, pakai bedak. And then there were remarks about made to MP Mua about, you know, calling him cucu atuk, lompat pagar, and then they were name callings, you know, calling people bodoh, calling people barua, you know, all these words. I think most importantly, I think all these words are not just insults to the individuals, to the MPs that, you know, that they were throwing these words against, but these are insults to their voters. You know, when you are calling these people bodoh, or you are calling these people barua, you're also insulting their voters, you know, undermining the voters who have voted for these people to represent them in the parliament. And I think this itself is an insult to the democracy system in Malaysia.
And could you walk us through how the Masa Kita hashtag took off on Twitter?
I think when we're talking about the Masa Kita hashtag itself, I think the tension on the ground has been there for quite some time. You know, like, the rise of the people has been really on peak during GE14, and then with the election of youngest MP of Southeast Asia, you know, YB Said Saddiq. And I think it was mainly triggered by Langkah Syaratan. I think Langkah Syaratan was seen as the crumbling point of democracy, when we see the first time ever we see the change of government without having any election at all. And then we see that there is no parliamentary sitting. But then what is interesting is that even without parliamentary sitting, you know, by actual MPs, we can see that how actually what they could have done, because they were saying that the excuses was that, you know, they couldn't have done a parliamentary sitting because of COVID-19. But then the youth have proven them wrong by conducting a digital parliamentary sitting. Parliament Digital was conducted and it was executed excellently. And this has proven that the youth can execute it and can execute it better. And I think, you know, this is something that really, really triggered the people. And it hits the peak, I think, during the parliamentary sitting yesterday when people can actually see when you compare the parliamentary sitting yesterday and you compare them with the Parliament Digital, which was conducted, you know, in a very manned way with substantiated arguments from, you know, representatives as young as 15 years old, you can see huge difference in terms of substance and manners from the MPs of Parliament Digital and our actual MPs in the Parliament. And this shows that age is not equal to maturity. And I think this is the reason why the Masa Kita hashtag really took off on Twitter. Youth are just tired and, you know, youth really want to prove that it's really our time to take over the mantle, you know, to actually do a better job at, you know, running the show.
And, you know, as we said earlier also, and as you pointed out, Parliament Digital happened just very recently. And so the comparisons, I think, are very clear to be seen. Could you take us through how conflicts were resolved in Parliament Digital?
Conflicts were resolved. I think when it comes to Parliament Digital, you can see that I think there are a couple of factors how conflicts were resolved in Parliament Digital. Number one is that in Parliament Digital itself, in fact, this is the same as the actual parliamentary setting, which is there's a strong set of rules. But what is different is that this young, you know, YBs of Parliament Digital, they adhere to that set of rules. In fact, what the organizers of Parliament Digital from Challenger, Liga Rakyat Demokratik and also Undi 18, they adapted the actual Peraturan Mesyuarat Majlis Dewan for, but they, you know, adjusted it to make it digitalized. And this also included powers of Jawatan Kuasa Hak dan Kebebasan just in case it was necessary. So this strong set of rules were adhered by these YBs. But I think more importantly than those strong set of rules was that these young people were just very focused on their missions, you know, since each and every one of them was, you know, very independent. They don't need to vote based on the party line. So they all acted on, there was no existing loyalty reefs or, you know, they don't have any baggage to deal with. So it was very easy for them to stay focused on what kind of ideas that they want to bring on the table or the motion that they want to debate on that day. And I think it's also because each of them believe very strongly in the responsibility that they bring during the Parliament Digital when they represent their constituency. Because, you know, there were only 222 youth debating during the Parliament Digital, but actually the secretaries received over 6,000 applications during the Parliament Digital nominations. So the fact that they actually, you know, were picked out of that 6,000 plus applications, gave them a sense of legitimacy. And I think this gave them that huge sense of responsibility to carry out their duty in a respectful manner. And this is what happens when young people are allowed a space to participate and contribute, because this shows that the youth are actually aware, you know, they are aware and they are ready to take up this chance, but they've just never been given a chance as huge as, you know, this magnitude before. So that's how I think the conflicts were resolved.
And just from that point of view then, what action would you like to see taken to ensure that parliamentary sittings are conducted in a more civil manner or perhaps more constructive? Because I think in many ways that's also what the movement is pushing for.
You vote them out. I mean, but, you know, more serious note, I think it's important for the people to hold their MPs accountable to each and every action that they do so that they have a sense of responsibility and accountability to their office. Because, again, like what I said just now, what we've seen yesterday sadly wasn't new. And I think what we're lacking in this country is the voter awareness. So when the voter awareness is low, you know, not many although we see that the rise in social media, you know, how yesterday the hashtag Master Kita took off, but actually that traction on social media is not actually as large on the ground. So not many people actually watch the parliamentary sitting. So when it comes to voting, not many people hold their MPs accountable. So this gives them sort of legitimacy to whatever they do in the parliamentary sitting itself. So there has to be a very strong effort to educate our people in terms of holding your MPs responsible when it comes to how they conduct themselves in the parliament, because they do in the parliament represent their people. And if they breach that sort of trust between and between what they the trust between them and the people that they represent, there has to be a way for you to hold them accountable, i.e., you know, in the next election, they shouldn't be allowed to, you know, win again. So you need to vote them out. So this sort of voter awareness needs to be increased in Malaysia.
Now, given that the Undi 18 bill to lower the voting age will only come into effect next year, in the meantime, how can youth influence policymaking and political dialogue? And I think in, you know, sort of real practical terms, because as you say, it's so important to get informed and also to participate in the political machinery in many ways. But I think for some people, that can also feel very daunting, you know, if you've never voted before, if you've never participated. So how can people kind of take that first step?
I think what's wonderful about us being in this time right now today is that we are in the age of social media, and that gave us a lot of advantage over, you know, our elders before us. You know, this is the time of social media. So as we can see, the hashtag Masa Kita is a wonderful start. You know, we are being heard loud and clear. So we need to use to ride on this wave, you know. Social media is helping us amplify our voice. Whatever you have in your mind to all the youth out there, whatever you have in your mind, you need to put it out there. You don't just keep it in. You need to write more, speak more. There's, for example, the easiest way to put this out there, right? You can see, like, a lot of times things are being discussed in the parliamentary sitting, but most of the time things are actually being put into actual action when it became viral. For example, the case of Kampung, the case of that, what was the internet connection case, right? When TM actually reached out to that girl and actually gave the internet connection because it became viral on the internet. Those are the things, those are the kind of things that you can take example of. Like, the power of the internet is very strong, and the internet is a place where the youth gather, right? So this is our platform. And even if you don't have a place or a platform in the parliament, it doesn't mean that you don't have a place to actually make a change at all. So you need to ride on this wave and use the platform that you have right now, which is social media, to speak more, write more, and contribute more to the policymaking of this country.
I did want to just touch on some criticism or some critique that has come in the course of our conversation. So Darren is saying Parliament Digital does not reflect the actual situation and responsibilities. They were picked without going through the leadership ladder in an actual political environment, so they are missing out a big chunk of the process. And I think that that mirrors in some ways what people's general criticism of youth participating in politics tends to be, which is, you know, it's, you're not fully aware, or you haven't kind of been in the trenches, I suppose. You know, how would you respond?
I mean, of course, I think there's some merit to that point which was raised by Darren, but at the same time, what you need to, I mean, what is positive from Parliament Digital was the kind of manner in which it was conducted, which I think can be taken into account. But at the same time, when we're talking about how the youth represent themselves in the parliament, I think it can also be seen in actual parliament itself. When you look at the parliamentary sitting, you can see that when it comes to youth representatives, like you know, YB Said Sadiq, YB Akmal Nasir, YB Fahmi Fadzil, you know, all these people, they are very eloquent in the parliament, and they are people who are, you know, with arguments which are substantiated, with good manners, and these are actual MPs. They actually go on the ground and they actually represent what actual MPs should have done. And I think this shows that when it comes to youth, they can do this, not just speaking in the parliament, but they can also conduct their work eloquently. And when it comes to Parliament Digital, of course, there's no process of election and all those kind of things, because it's not actual MPs, right? The what we're trying to do, what the organisers are trying to do, is trying to prove that Parliament can be conducted online, digitally. Parliament, it doesn't necessarily have to be a face-to-face interaction, and it has been proven to be true. But the positive part of that Parliament Digital has to be taken into account, and I think it shouldn't be discarded just because these people haven't tried to live in the actual shoes of MPs before.
Amira, we just have under a minute left. What message would you like to leave us with on the Masa Kita movement?
I think the message that I would like to leave is, you know, I'm pretty sure that everyone on the ground, you know, especially the youth, are feeling the same kind of frustration that most of us are feeling in terms of this old politics that's been bugging us, you know, with the kind of people who've been playing like racial cards, sexism, racism, all these kind of remarks being thrown around, and we've been being pitted against each other for so long, you know. But all these kind of tensions that have been played against us, we need to channel this into actual action, and we shouldn't just be dwelling on the past, but we should really be focusing into the future. And what should we as the youth, you know, do to fix our future for us, and not just for us, for the next generations after us? And this is really something that we need to think through. You know, it shouldn't be just something, you know, on social media and it ends just there. You need to put whatever you say on social media into action. What do you do after this? You know, what happens after this whole hashtag Masa Kita? What do you do at your house with your siblings? What do you do with your friends when you lepak at mama after this? What do you say to your friends when you go out with your family? What do you tell your grandmother? What do you tell your grandfather? You know, educate everyone around you about the future of Malaysia and the future of politics in Malaysia and the future of, you know, us as Malaysia as a whole. It's time for the youth to be given a chance to take over the mantle. You know, it's our time. It's ini masa kita. I think that would be my final message to everyone out there.
Amira, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Lynn, for the chance. Thank you very much.
That was Amira Aisha, activist at Challenger Malaysia, talking to us about Masa Kita. We have lots of thoughts and messages that have come through. We'll get to them after the 7 o'clock news. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.